The SparkFile podcast may contain profanity and other adult content.
Please use your discretion.
When I bump into something that inspires me, I dump it in my SparkFile. Could be something that I want to make or how I want to be. I pump it in my SparkFile. I jump into my SparkFile. Let's open up the SparkFile.
Welcome to the SparkFile, your one-stop gift set for creative inspiration.
I'm Laura Camion.
And I'm Susan Blackwell. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. You may be asking yourself, what exactly is a SparkFile?
Yeah.
Where do I get one? What do I file in it? These are such good questions. We hope to have answers for you.
We do, actually. A SparkFile is a place where you consistently collect all of your inspirations and fascinations.
Here's the deal. We are makers who make all kinds of things.
If you're anything like us and you're making stuff all the time or want to be making stuff all the time, you know the wellspring of inspiration can run a little dry.
So we're on the lookout for fresh ideas, images, and inspiration that spark our creativity and pique our curiosity. Things that inspire us to get up off of our asses and make things like this podcast.
Or a joy-filled project that you create with your friends.
Or a collage made up of so many sparkity sparks.
Sparks. Every episode we're going to... Sparks. We're going to reach into our spark files and exchange some sparks.
Sparks.
And from time to time, we're going to talk to some people who spark us as well.
And if you're not careful, you just might get your questions answered. Mm. So without further ado, let's open up
the spark file.
Cans.
Wow, Blackwell.
Before we launch into this very special episode of the Spark File, I have something to share with you.
What is it?
A very devoted listener to the podcast.
Yes.
Inspired by a spark.
What?
Has presented a gift.
What?
And that gift is the very first Spark File jigsaw puzzle.
Come on! Are you kidding? Let me see it.
This was inspired by your Spark puzzle piece.
Puzzle piece.
And it is our Spark File logo, the Spark File with Susan Blackwell and Laura Camion. And then there's a little thing at the bottom that says, oh, the Spark File podcast is going to contain profanity and other adult content. Use your discretion. Not may contain, but will contain. Let me shove that across the table at you. That's from Jeff Spitz.
Oh my God, Jeff, this is amazing.
Isn't that cool?
This is incredible.
Yeah. Isn't that nice? So
oh my God.
I know. How cool is that? Ah. It brings all of our sparks together into one box.
It's legit.
Yeah.
How many pieces is this?
So many pieces.
520 pieces.
It's a lot of pieces.
Oh my gosh. Can I do it after you?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And then we'll break it down. Wes can do it.
Wes
and then
is
we can mod podge it and
this.
Frame it.
Yes. Yes.
So great.
That's a deal.
So I just wanted to say a thank you and happy holidays to
thank
Jeff Spitz
you,
for
Jeff.
A beautiful puzzle.
Oh my God. That
go.
Is awesome.
That's what I wanted to say
okay,
to you.
Okay. That is a
what
fucking
else to
delight.
Say.
I have some things to say.
I'm excited about our workshop.
Susan, I am too. It is growing ever closer and I'm so freaking excited.
We have been putting a lot of thought into this and I just feel like we've done workshops before. I just feel like this is going to be the best ever for the people that are there because I really feel like we just continue to evolve this work and it's effective.
It's effective
and it's fun.
This is, you know, essentially it's a 2-day event, but a day and a half of workshop
then
a podcast recording. But the day and a half really gives us that time to go deep.
Yes.
Which we don't always have. Sometimes we're trying to condense a whole lot of stuff, which is also fun, but it feels a little, I wouldn't say luxurious, but it feels
I would
like
say
such
luxurious.
A gift to have
to
that
me,
time.
To me, it feels like the people that are there are really going to reap the benefits of being there. They're really
right.
going to just get that making all tuned up and
you know what they're
out.
Really doing? they are starting their year off right.
It's true.
Right?
Boy.
Because we all know how January can be. You're like, yeah. Have these goals, and then it's March. You're like, shit, I haven't started it, you know?
I feel like the intentions that I set at the beginning of this year have really paid off. And I mean, we made this podcast. I did consume less. I did create more. I made that commitment to not buying clothes. And I think I have bought a total of 2 pieces of clothing.
Oh my gosh.
A souvenir t-shirt from the Performing Arts Project.
Yes.
And there was one sort of like a one-off vintage item that I did purchase.
Okay, you had to have, but you know.
But 2 pieces in an entire
That's
year.
That's amazing.
Pretty good. I'm proud of myself.
I did not win that challenge.
Oh.
But I did consume a lot less than I normally would have.
Here's the thing. Say you had a goal that you were like, I'm going to create something every day, like people are doing in the creativity challenge.
That's right.
Even if you don't actually create something every day, you'll probably create more than if you didn't participate in the challenge perfectly.
Shit.
Like even if you don't do it perfectly, you're still making huge strides.
And you're still thinking about creativity each day.
That's right.
Even if you have to make a conscious decision, you know what? It's not going to happen today.
Today, I'm giving myself a snow day. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So for all those reasons, I like it. We hope we'll see you there. And if we don't,
absolutely,
we carry you in our hearts.
But you mentioned what we've accomplished this year. And I just think like, it has been an amazing few months.
Amazing.
Amazing. I mean, we started working on this project last year.
Almost exactly at this time last year.
We started talking about it or we started actually doing the work?
We were hammering out format,
that's right.
All of it.
That's right. Yeah. We were like, what do we want it to be?
Yeah.
Exactly. And then we started work in the spring actually recording episodes and reaching out to people, et cetera. We launched in September.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's December. And this whole bag of bananas has brought us so much joy.
I know. I love it. And it was just an idea. It was just a spark, something that didn't exist before.
That's right.
The learning curves. I mean, I'm proud of us. But for the holiday, this isn't about us. For
That's
the
right.
holidays, we wanted to take a moment to pause, to reflect, to extend our gratitude to you.
That's right.
Gentle listeners.
Mm-hmm.
None of this happens without you. And if it weren't for you, Cammie and I would just look at each other and pretend podcast into 2 hairbrushes.
No.
So thank you for being here for all of this and providing us with external accountability. So we have a meaningful commitment to keep. And for being so inspiring to us. And it's really, we're starting to get, I think we'll share some of this in just a moment, but people are saying, I look forward to the episode dropping. And I'll tell you, that's some good pressure.
That's great pressure.
Yeah.
And it means so much.
Yeah.
It means so much.
That anybody gives a shit.
I know.
It does mean a lot.
Or that we're, you know, encouraging people. So we wanted to open up some presents from you. These are gifts that you sent us in the form of some really top-notch email. Every single one of these was, well, to quote the Armchair Treasure Hunt Spark, a day maker.
Yeah, these were some day
makers, right?
So let's hear what you got to say for yourself, gentle sparklers. Let's open up this Spark File mailbag.
Ooh, a mailbag episode.
Open up the Spark File mailbag episode. We're going to have to get some.
We need a little jingle.
A new jingle.
Mm-hmm. Anybody want to write our mailbag jingle?
I have some ideas about who can sing it. Okay, so this first email comes from Laura Coward.
Hi, Laura.
Laura submitted this through the magic portal that is our website, thesparkfile.com. The subject is came for Groff, stayed for your sparks.
Hey, I'll take that any day.
I will too. It's honest and I like it. Her price of admission, Laura signed up for the January workshop. So preemptive risk,
yes!
She says, I love it. We cannot wait to see you there. Her second price of admission, this is amazing. Moved to New York from Texas this year to double down on living a more adventurous and creative life. Step one was taking her first playwriting class.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Hats off to you. That is a good adventure. And here is the message from Laura Coward. Susan and Laura, thank you for the time and love and hilarity you are putting into this podcast. You are bringing me so much joy. And on any given day, you can find me with tears streaming as I listen while walking through Central Park, Shout out to The Art of Dying Well. You and me and Cam's
and me
both.
Too.
Yeah. I'm 39 and completely uprooted my life in April to move from Dallas to New York. My life was great. My friends were great, but I felt stuck and passive and like I'd lost my, forgive me, spark. I see what you did there.
Nice.
I'd always wanted to live in New York, but had decided that I was too old and settled to move. But then I said, F that.
Yes.
I'm a writer for an agency in Dallas, helping raise money for children's hospitals, animal rescues, and food banks. I asked them if I could work remotely for a year or two or forever,
Wow.
And now here I am alone, living out a very exciting but solitary dream. Your words slash voices have kept me company and have inspired me. And the Nine Ender spark made me feel seen.
Mm.
So did the puzzle spark, as I used to put them together on the cardboard side when I was little.
Hello.
Just to see if I could.
The cardboard side.
Baby
Shit.
Genius. I'm so excited for your workshop and for the chance to say hi in person. Likewise, we can't wait to see you. A brave adventurer. I love it.
Yeah.
Here's a small spark that one of your episodes made me think of. I grew up with very crafty grandmothers and as a result have always been ready to be 75. My dad's mom was always cross stitching and needle pointing, and she made all of our Christmas stockings and many of our ornaments. My mom's mom loves calligraphy and has made letter writing slash addressing an art form. I love this family.
Everything's an art form.
I love it. As a little girl, like single digits, I used to stitch with my dad's mom, and she'd periodically make me stop and show her the back of the piece I was working on. I was impatient and loved taking shortcuts, so there would be thread stretched across the back of the canvas and tiny knots that I didn't have the patience to untangle. She showed me the back of her canvas, and it looked almost identical to the front. Oh,
wow.
Grandma.
Grandma.
I'm with you, Laura. Just knots and bullshit. She then explained to me the concept of cross stitch and needlepoint integrity and how shadow threads can ruin a project by showing through. I listened and then continued to take my shortcuts, sure nobody would ever look closely enough at my work to care. My grandmother continued to take the time to uphold the integrity of her work. It was a lesson that I'd forgotten until she died, and then it became the theme of the eulogy I gave for her.
God.
Her life looked
beautiful.
The same in the light and dark from both sides because of her integrity. Side spark. I love this.
Yeah.
And I have never had the words for it, but I aspire to be, if whoever's reviewing my life, that they were just like, it was authentic. It was the same
The
front as it was in the back. Like,
that's right.
No secrets, no hidden bullshit.
No shadow threads.
I love no shadow threads.
Love that.
And in her creative pursuits, even the lowest stakes examples, she never gave anything less than her absolute best, even though most people would never notice if she'd taken a few shortcuts.
Mm.
I've been thinking of her a lot and of this notion of the shadow thread, and I'm trying to apply that lesson to my creative work again, as well as actual life. This is a quote from Laura Coward. Your absence has gone through me like thread through a needle. Everything I do is stitched with its color.
Ugh.
Thank you for giving us a podcast where we can learn and be inspired, and one that somehow also knocks loose beautiful memories buried deep inside. Thank goodness for creativity and creators. The happiest of holidays to you both. See you soon. Laura Coward.
Well, first of all, Laura.
Cam's is full on crying now.
I mean, honestly, I feel the same, Susan, that if we can live our life that way, and have our creative work be the same. Like,
you can look
so
at it from the front.
Expressed.
You can explore. You can examine the back.
You know, when
I love that.
We would talk about this at Blue Man, and I think a little in title of show, and I'm sure many other shows. But the sense that if you're portraying people on stage who are joyful, having fun, and love each other, it is very difficult to convey that if the backstage area does not also look the same.
There are people who can do it.
Sure.
There are people who look like a party in the front and they're a nightmare in the back.
100%. Yeah. But I think that when a project really takes off, I think that people speak about the alchemy, the chemical balance of a group of people? Like, why did Friends, the sitcom, take off and some other sitcom that was, you know, maybe equally funny in its first season did not? And sometimes when you have time, you know, when you have the ability to reflect back, it's shadow threads. It's that they were not authentically living what they were putting out
there. And I can imagine that would be true of the relationships of a creative team, but I can also imagine that it's true in the underpinnings of the actual creative work.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right. It's layered.
Laura Coward, what a beautiful email.
Incredible.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
So excited to meet you.
Can't wait to see you.
Oh my Amazing. Gosh.
Thank you for
that.
Yeah,
and I want to know more about your grandma. She seems just phenomenal.
A family of crafters.
I was a 4-H-er. I'll admit that. Were you really?
Yeah. What were your disciplines?
Well, first of all,
I only had one.
I didn't think of them that way.
I don't know what they call them. What were your clubs you were in?
I sewed. I was sewing. Yeah.
You were?
Yeah.
You know how to sew?
Uh-huh.
Can you thread a sewing machine?
Yeah, I can thread a sewing machine.
There's one easy thing I need done in this house.
Yeah.
But I learned one time I can't remember how to thread a sewing machine.
Oh,
I can't believe I am Nancy Blackwell's daughter. But
all we
have to do is just go and mend something up.
Oh my gosh, I'll help you. I will help you. For sure.
Sorry, go ahead. This is the greatest discovery in the world.
I mean, you know, I'm rusty at a number of things, but I'm familiar with patterns and, you know, all that stuff. It's been a while, but remember I was telling you I made those tops, you know, out of vintage linens that I found. Yeah. I used to love making them.
Just conceiving them and having somebody execute them. You were making them.
I made part of them. Then there was one part that was more complicated. And my friend, Nancy Feldman, Nancy. Much, much better than I had to give her. Like, so I would sew to a certain point and then I'd be like, Nancy, can you help me with these?
Just finish this up.
But anyway, it was my best friend, Rhonda. Her grandma taught the sewing class for our 4-H.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And she was tough on me. She was really tough on me because, you know, I also was impatient.
Shadow stitches.
That's right. It was like, what are these little threads, these dangling threads? What are you doing here? It's supposed to look tight. Anyway, that all resonates with me.
This is also reminding me of our amazing, amazing maker listener, Andy Berkey, who in addition to doing this gothic wood is also quilting. He made a quilt for his nephew for Christmas.
And
you were like, is there anything you cannot do?
I know. I was like, who are you, Andy? Are you real? Maybe you're just some figment of the internet's imagination.
So Laura, I'm sparked by Laura Coward. I'm sparked by your beautiful writing. Yeah. And I'm also sparked by this desire that I've had to learn how to sew that.
We're going to get that done.
Great.
Let's get that done.
Awesome.
All right. I got another letter here from the mailbag. Here we go. Hello, ladies. I've been wanting to write to you for the longest time, but it's actually you who kept me crazy busy and gave me so much inspiration to create and observe and listen to everything around me. This podcast means so much to me. And once I start talking about it to anyone, I can't shut up for hours. So I will try to keep this short and sweet, as I'm sure you're both very busy and get many emails from other fans as well.
So many emails.
So many emails. I'm currently finishing my undergrad at the Royal Conservatory of Scotland.
Ooh.
Fancy. I'm Czech and moved abroad to study and live art only a few years ago. I often feel that while I receive an amazing training in the craft and know how to do things technically, it's often much trickier to get the actual inspiration there.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, I learn from many outstanding people, but the character of the course simply doesn't offer a lot of time to discuss our inspirations and the reasons why we do this.
I think that's pretty common.
That's right. And after a few years of studying, I found myself in a position where I wasn't even sure if I wanted to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I totally forgot why I want to do and write music. I'm majoring in classical composition.
I think this is pretty common.
That's right. You sort of lose sight of like, where is the joy? Where is that
seed in me? Where is the spark? Where is the thing that flashes through my body and like brings me that
That's
visceral?
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In September, just before the beginning of this academic year, I took a trip to Croatia, hoping I might write something while getting drunk by the sea.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
I like this idea. And randomly downloaded the first few episodes of your podcast on my phone.
I'm so curious how that search went.
I want to know,
creativity?
Too.
I wonder.
Maybe.
Who knows?
I'm glad we showed up there.
Glad we did.
I was traveling from Prague by bus and alone, because that's what you do when you don't plan things ahead and aren't that great at planning things in the first place. So I had a lot of time to listen to you. Oh my God.
All caps.
All caps. From the first episode, I fucking loved all of it. The topics, the balance of fun and really interesting stuff, your spontaneous reactions to each other, the guests.
Well, thank you.
Hey, your enthusiasm and the ideas you give away sparked something truly insane inside of my brain.
You're welcome.
Insane in your brain. I do believe it woke up something manic in me, because ever since then, I have to write and compose and create something every day.
Oh, yes. That's amazing.
And it makes me just as happy to observe things, to listen to and watch for the traces of inspiration I might possibly use in something, both art and or my daily life.
Mm.
I love this
love
so
it.
Much.
Love it. Love it.
After the trip to Croatia, I finished the script and score of the musical, and we're talking about a good 90% of it.
Jeez Louise.
In less than a month, as opposed to months of struggling with it before.
Amazing.
I think the biggest difference was that I wanted to create something, that I was willing to spend the time and energy on it and to search for the answers. It was suddenly fun again.
Yes, that's what we're talking
yes.
about, like finding a way back to then, like finding
that's
that way
right.
back to that time when it was fun.
And it felt freeing and yes.
instead of like, and I know all the technical stuff is super important as well. You have to have it. You have to have it all. But yeah. I think that's why some people get burnt out, or also, I don't know.
That's right. You've yeah. got to like keep one foot
gotta
and
restock
on both
that,
sides.
Those sparks. Yeah. yeah.
Ironically, the story of this musical is about two brothers from the 19th century accidentally using their father's, who's an amateur inventor, time travel machine, and traveling to the 21st century, where they have to spend some time to realize who they really are and what they want to do with their lives now that it's not dictated by others.
Amazing.
The rest is about comparing these times, how there are many things we do nowadays that don't make much sense, etc. Amen to that. I'm attaching a song from it for you, if you were in the mood to listen to the results of your podcast magic.
Oh, we are in the mood.
Oh,
yes,
we
yes.
are. We're about to do the first reading of the first thing this weekend. And while I'm shitting my pants already, it's been such an amazing journey and you've played an important role in it.
This is
I wish we could go and see it.
I actually think that a bit of this was posted for the creativity challenge, and it is impressive.
It is
full. Like there's an orchestra, there's a stage full of singers. The receipts have been produced on this.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's legit.
Amazing.
So back to the letter. More recently, after starting to look for more projects to do, I came across a flyer for the competition announced by Edinburgh Studio Opera.
Mm-hmm.
Their composition award promised a run of a new opera written for them at next year's Edinburgh Fringe.
Yes.
The only problem? 14 days till the deadline.
That's very title of show.
I know. Yes. I was like, hey, I've deja vu.
The only problem is there's 3 weeks to the deadline.
What?
Yeah, we know this life.
Oh, well, why not give it a try?
Yes.
So I went through the episode of the Spark File, took a few of your sparks and side sparks and created, this is awesome, an hour-long adaptation, read monster, of Oedipus Rex set in the 1940s with an aging actress in the main role. Sparks such as Hollywood stars secretly having babies, or is your father really your father, and many others
amazing.
Included. The results of the competition should be known during this month, but no matter the outcome, I loved working on the ideas brought to me by someone else and trying to fit them into my own universe.
This is great.
I want to see this show.
Yeah.
I owe you so much for this kick of inspiration affirmation I needed so much, and I hope you never stop doing this. In 50 years, I will still be waiting for my Monday episode.
Oh, no.
And I will be furious if you're late with it.
There's that external accountability.
I know. Thank you. I'm super upset I can't make it to your January workshop because of conducting in London during those days. Hello. That's a good reason.
High class problems.
However, I'll attend the next one in NYC for sure. Thank you again for doing all of this. It means a lot to me and to a lot of other people as well, I'm sure. Best, Philip Holotsky. P.S. Love the episode about Brundibar.
Aww.
It's a heartbreaking episode of history, yeah. But I feel like people outside of Czech Republic or Poland rarely know about this. What a great use of your platform.
Oh, Philip, thank you so much.
Unbelievable.
The joy in our hearts knowing that you're not just thinking about, considering, or talking about doing something, but you're actually taking sparks and making something out of it. It's all we've ever wanted in life.
Doing it.
Just take it and make it.
Just take it and make it.
I love it. And Philip also sent some art from what I think is the cover of one of the pieces, which is called The Orangery, or Whispering in the Storm. That's a very dramatic title. Mm-hmm. And also a flyer from Lost in Time, which must be the time travel piece, and a semi-staged reading of a new musical. Damn, Philip.
It's so... I really love this one because he is obviously really getting it done.
Really getting
it done. But also, I've got a fantasy of going back to school and being like, oh, I want to study. And then I'd like to take a trip to Croatia and write on the beach. Like I'll switch with you for just like maybe 3 weeks.
But here's the deal. I feel like with this podcast, we can do all of those things.
It's true.
Except
it's true.
Not turn in papers. And we have to turn in podcasts or Philip's going to get mad. But I just want to look at this flyer for Lost in Time. Book, lyrics, and music by Philip.
Amazing.
Also conducted by Philip.
Holy.
And in the little video he posted on Instagram, those conductor arms are flying.
He's doing it.
Amazing.
Incredible.
What a great email.
Now we need to book another workshop so he can come to that one.
There you go. Or do one at the conservatory in Scotland.
That's right. We'll be at Edinburgh Fringe.
See you there. Here's an email. This came through our website. This is from Rachel Jackson. The subject is Met Opera Spark Realize. Price of admission. I made a podcast with my students without asking permission from my principal. Ha ha. I was really worried he would say no, so I just did it, and then he loved it.
Oh, how awesome.
I love that creative risk. That's right. Don't ask for permission. Just apologize later if you have to. Here's the message. Do you remember me telling you at the Met Opera Conference that your podcast sparked me big time? Well, yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that I wanted to do a storytelling podcast with my students?
Yep.
Well, we did it. Here is the first episode of One Song, Many Voices. This is, I don't know if you took a little spin. It's the students interviewing a storyteller. It's amazing.
So awesome.
Back to the message. We're super pleased with how it came out. Now the kids are all writing their stories and planning interview questions for their family members, friends, and teachers. Thank you so much for putting that spark in my brain. You're the best.
I love it.
Rachel Jackson, elementary music specialist in San Antonio Independent School District.
Oh my God.
I love it.
This on so many levels. One of the things that struck me is like the kids planning interviews for their family members and friends and teachers.
What an amazing,
you know, not to bring it back to death, but
How can we not?
But there's something I've always loved about intergenerational interviews.
Yeah.
And as my parents get older, and my mom has already passed, I do wish that I had recorded more family history. Ask those questions. Find out the things that you think you're always going to have time to know.
Yeah.
Like, how did you guys meet? You know, what was your life like then? Tell us everything.
Yeah.
And I just love the idea of these kids doing a podcast and they'll have that forever.
Yeah, I love it. What a great email. Thank you for having that spark and following through on it, Rachel Jackson.
Yay!
I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
All right, here's another email from Sarah Breyer. The subject is sparking healing. The price of admission. I work part-time for a youth community theater in Arizona. We are currently working on The Little Mermaid Junior.
Sure.
I was choreographing my little baby seagulls in human stuff, and my ambition and their execution didn't mesh. LOL. We'll be revamping and trying again.
So not perfection, but progress.
But progress.
I love it.
Progress.
I love it. I love it.
Message. I just wanted to thank you for sharing that spark about Amelia Clark.
Oh.
My six-year-old niece, M, suffered with an AVM, which caused a stroke in August.
Yeah.
She had very similar symptoms to Amelia.
Oh.
Headache, violent vomiting, didn't know her name.
Sweet
it
baby.
Was terrifying for all of us.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
She has recovered, thankfully, but she's not out of the woods yet.
Oh, M.
After listening to the podcast, I immediately looked up Amelia's Same You Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to get more involved there, but my spark comes from this. M has a sister, E, who is 8. E really struggled with what happened, naturally. Watching her sister vomit, lose her cognitive function, go to the emergency room, go to the children's hospital, and stay in the ICU for a week. Ugh, this is getting me.
Yeah.
It's been 3 months, and she still hasn't processed it.
Mm.
I think it would be interesting to create a children's book, support program, or something to explain and help siblings of children with emergency situations process what's going on and work as a gateway of communication so that parents can help that child work through the heaviness of what's happened.
Mm.
Phoenix Children's tried, but it wasn't comprehensive and there was no follow-up. I just feel like there could be more. Not sure how this will manifest itself, but I wanted to share and thank you too for kindling this new heart spark.
Mm.
All my love, Sarah.
Sarah, first of all, our hearts go out to you and your family, to M and to E and to M and E's parents. That must be so, I mean, I can really only imagine, but
it's
I imagine it would be very scary and very challenging and continue to be so.
I think it is a genius idea.
I do too.
What E went through, like how traumatizing that would be. We feel it as an adult, as adults, anytime like our body isn't functioning the way we expect it
or
to.
Or somebody we love,
that's
to
right.
see them in pain.
But when you're that young and to really
it's
not
really
know,
hard to understand.
I think this happens.
Amazing, Sarah. I think it's a really, really good idea. And I think it's smart of you to be aware of where people have tried and maybe come up short before.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that you will take this very, very great spark and do something with
it. Please
and
keep us posted.
And report back to us.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah.
Oh, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Boy.
Sweet babies. They're... Nathan always says this about little dogs, but it's true of everybody. He always goes, they're just little babies.
They're just little babies.
They're just little babies. But I think it's true of everybody. We're all just little
babies. Oh my God. My nieces and my nephew, Susan, sometimes I'm like, I want so desperately to protect them from any amount of pain. And I just think I would throw myself in front of anything bad that was about to happen to them. And then, of course, I know, like, that's how we learn. That's how we grow.
That's how you live, yeah.
But the thought of them, anything bad happening is so... terrifying.
Yeah. They're all just sweet little babies.
Sweet little babies.
And so are you, Cams.
And so are you,
Blackwell.
Right,
here we go. Fresh email. Hello, Sparkles. Yes. I thoroughly enjoyed your show at the Met about Brenda Barr and wanted to tell you about another opera that was composed in the same camp.
What?
Yes. Der Kaiser von Atlantis.
Did you know this from your research?
No.
Oh, this is awesome.
I mean, I knew that that Theresienstadt was a creative
that they
hotbed.
Did other.
Yes, absolutely. There was, but I did not know about this specifically.
How cool.
Der Kaiser von Atlantis was written by Victor Ullmann in 1943 while he was interred at Theresienstadt. It was cast in the camp and fully rehearsed. The plot of the opera, which includes a pair of young lovers whose love for one another causes Der Kaiser to lose all his power, an obvious statement about Hitler, was deemed too revolutionary by the Nazi guards. Its performance was canceled and Ullmann was sent to Auschwitz. Here is a blurb from Wikipedia about it. The particular nature of the camp at Theresienstadt enabled Uman, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, I hope I am, enabled Uman to remain active musically. He was a piano accompanist, organized concerts, wrote critiques of musical events, and composed as part of a cultural circle including Carol Ancel, Raphael Schachter, Gideon Klein, Hans Krause, and other prominent musicians in prison there.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote, "By no means did we sit weeping on the banks of the waters of Babylon. Our endeavor with respect to arts was commensurate with our will to live."
Oh,
amazing.
God, that gave me chills.
On 16 October 1944, he was deported to the camp at Auschwitz-Birkenau, where on October 18th, 1944, he was killed in the gas chambers. Mm. "Thank you for sparking my heart and mind, friends. With love to you from Fort Worth, Emily." Oh, and here's a PS, the price of admission. "I'm in Texas where show choir is a big thing. I was pressured by my administration to create one." Gosh, teachers. They just pile it on teachers.
They do.
So I marched blindly off with my students in tow to create our first ever show choir. Oh, Emily. "We worked and sang and choreographed like crazy to get ready for our fall concert last week. The dancing didn't look that great, to be honest, and I was afraid the kids would feel embarrassed after their big concert debut. Right as they were going on stage for their big moment, the power cut out. Total darkness. I rushed down stage and had them sing anyway. I tapped the beat for them and sang, and they sang along to keep things moving. Soon the audience turned on their cell phone flashlights so the kids could see. They sang and danced their guts out in semi-darkness, which perfectly disguised the aforementioned bad dancing."
Oh my God.
"They were so proud of themselves and I was weeping on account of their bravery and gusto. It was magic. So much better than a perfect performance would have been. Attached, please find a picture of them singing in the dark." Amazing. Thank you.
Happy accidents.
I love, Emily, I love that you shared that. It's so amazing because we really do like take a lot of time to do this research, but sparks lead to sparks and there is no way to know all of it. So how wonderful to have people like Emily fill in the puzzle
even
pieces.
More.
I love it.
I mean, what struck me about that, this opera that she's mentioning, in Brundibar, you talked about how there was a very subtle message about life.
And not so subtle, but the guards gave it a pass.
Oh, they were aware, but gave it a pass.
I think so.
I took that they managed to.
If they did know, they gave it a pass. But here they did not give it a pass.
Exactly. I find that fascinating.
I do too. And I love your price of admission. And I love the thought it being this amazing positive moment, the students just singing and dancing their hearts out and their bad dancing being concealed by the darkness.
And happy accidents.
Happy like,
the,
fucking
the
accidents.
Lights going out at just the right time. That is so awesome.
I love it. I love it.
All right, here's a new one. Hi, Sparkfile team. I want to first thank you for providing a space through your podcast that rejuvenates my creative soul, inspires me, and encourages me to reach around and explore the possibilities for my creative potential.
Reach around. Sorry.
Susan.
You were saying.
Hey. Additionally, I want to ask a question, get some thoughts and insight on the creative intersection I have found myself sitting in. I like this. As Julianne Moore's husband said in your Makers podcast.
That's Bart Freundlich.
Hi, Bart. I have been listening to the, quote, low voices that are stirring and wanting to be heard. I'm patiently listening and trying to honor them, giving them the space to be heard. Mm. A little bit about my background before I continue. After graduating high school, I attended the Rhode Island School of Design. I earned a BFA with a focus on apparel design. I moved to New York City in 2015 and started working in the industry that I had set out to conquer and be involved in. Ranging from internships at DVF, Ralph Lauren, Rag & Bone, and a brief time at J. Crew, I have now been working for a menswear brand called Original Penguin. With almost 4 years on the design team, I have discovered and acknowledged that my passions, my so-called dreams, and my sparks of curiosity are shifting and changing outside the lanes of fashion. I have discovered that I want to get into the world of costume design.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I want to dive into the theater spaces here in NYC, collaborate with design teams on films, and tap into it. Not only because I'm curious, but because I think my low voices are getting louder and louder. It's such an exciting place to be as a maker, but I also find it to be daunting and a little paralyzing. At times, it feels like I have to start over.
Sure, yeah.
How does one start over at the age of 28? That's right. We giggle. But then in fairness, the email goes on. I reread that and it sounds silly starting over at 28. But I think what I mean is, how does someone who has set up a career path for the past 8 years take action after recognizing a shift? It's a great question.
Yeah.
How does one leap from one lane to the next? Mm-hmm. Maybe it isn't a leap. Maybe it's really about showing up and seeing where it goes from there. Have either of you found yourself in a similar situation? If so, how did you approach it? Or how did you provide space for it? How did you honor it? I would love to hear your insight or your thoughts on this. Thanks for taking time to read this. I look forward to connecting and hearing from you. P.S. What is currently sparking me? Today, my answer is storytelling, the participation of contributing and listening to people's stories.
Lovely.
Saw The Inheritance last night on Broadway. Beautiful piece of storytelling. What's it all for? I love that you included that. What's it all for?
A self-interview. I love it.
Today, my answer is connection and providing a space to connect.
Beautiful.
A creative risk, I signed up to be an extra on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel in hopes to meet someone on set who could teach me about the costume wardrobe team, ask questions, pick their brain, etc. Wasn't sure if an introduction would come out of it, but I showed up with anticipation and a hopeful attitude. I almost chickened out. Soon after arriving on set, I acknowledged that pulling someone aside and talking with them about the industry wasn't a realistic possibility. In the end, I loved every moment of it. It was worth the 12-hour day, and those low voices spoke up a bit louder after that experience. Kind regards, Noah Birch.
I love this email, and there's so much in it. First, I want to say, no matter what your age, it is always okay to change your choice.
That's right.
I think sometimes, and I know I have felt this in my own life, we think, oh, I or my parents or somebody paid a lot of money for me to get an expensive education that I'm still maybe paying off, blah, blah, blah. And so whatever that education was in, if you're, we make those decisions when we're quite young, like, you know, you made this decision in your 20s to pursue this and you invest a bunch in it and even some real world work. And then it, you, your heart starts, you know, that spark starts knocking and you're like, that low voice rises up.
That's
and
right.
You, it can be scary because you're like, oh no, oh no.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say, first of all, it's okay to change your choice. So
that is correct.
You have permission to change your choice.
That's right. First and foremost.
That's right. And then what, Cams?
Well, then I was going to say, in the larger scheme of things, I would say to Noah, because your skills are so relatable.
Very complimentary.
What feels like maybe a huge chasm for you is really like a sidestep into this other industry. Your skills are all applicable.
So transferable.
I can imagine people wanting to scoop you right the heck up.
I can too. And that leads me to my next thought about this, which is...
Yeah.
I love that you wrote to us. I love that you are starting to broadcast and boost the signal that you want to dip a toe into this, then maybe a foot, then the ankle, then the lower part of one leg, the whole leg, the groins. I love that you're starting to share this. And I think that we both are inviting you slash granting you further permission to keep talking about this.
That's
when people
right.
say, what do you, you know, at parties, when you meet people, when you are networking with people and people say, what do you do?
That's right.
You can say, well, I've trained and I have an enormous amount of years of experience in this sort of like fashion silo. And I'm really, my curiosity is really turning towards costume design for film and television specifically, because you're going to start meeting people, and it may be a situation where somebody says, okay, I don't make film or TV, but I am making a play and it goes up in 2 months. And would you be willing to do some costumes for that? That's like, right. I feel like there are ways to start dipping those toesies in.
Even as we're talking, this is weird, but I'm just realizing I may write back to you because I have, obviously we both
got your
have,
first job.
I'm like, hey, but we obviously both have friends and in the industry and stuff.
Yeah.
But I do have a particular friend who is in costume design, everything from the Today Show to Sesame Street.
Oh,
to,
yeah, that's right.
You know, theater and television. And he also just happens to be the kind of person who would graciously and happily have a conversation, I think.
And
so I'm going to see if
sometimes
I can
those conversations lead to everybody wants to work with really smart, talented, capable, hardworking people.
That's right.
And if that is you, Noah, or if that is you, listener, if you can make those connections, I mean, we are always scanning for who is that person who has that magical like checklist of skills that is also passionate about what we're passionate about.
That's right.
And is, you know, would be happy and willing to dip their foot into our put their peanut butter in our chocolate. So yeah. I can just speak, I do think that people are always on the lookout for people like you, Noah. So, but
that's right.
But you like
it's clear that you're hardworking and that you're focused, and yes. I think that's half the battle. Assuming that
and you can write a good email,
you can write a good email, and
you got some adventurous spirit,
hardworking and
Maisel.
No drama.
Yeah.
I think people, you know, will always find a place for you in the workplace.
And there may be a time, and it's a good thing that you're 28. But well, let's use Cams and I as an example. So we are making this podcast because we wanted to do something that really was in the center of our current like desires and passions and mm-hmm. all the things we love to do and less of the things we don't love to do. And we'll be honest with you, we are love it. We love making this podcast and we do it on top of our normal workload.
Mm-hmm.
So we're making this podcast in the cracks in between right now. And there may come a time when that changes and the podcast becomes at the fore, or that becomes a income stream. But right now we're doing it for love of the game. And there may be some time where you're, you know, doing
hustling.
Your fashion job and your evenings and weekends, you're hustling.
That's
or
right.
you use, there are years where I have used all my vacation time from my job
to work another job,
to do something that I was really passionate about.
That's
so
right.
there will be a period of transition, but that kind of hard work can be daunting, but you seem like you're up for it, Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had the wherewithal to write us this email, you have the wherewithal to follow that spark.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're going to be watching for your next move.
Will you please report back?
Yeah.
We can't wait to hear. Oh, how fantastic.
That's so awesome.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
This is from Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
The subject line, feeling like a half-baked second string maker. That's honest.
Okay.
Price of admission. I have been a stage actor for 20 years or so and have done some on-camera stuff along the way. Very little. Thoroughly enjoyed it when I did it. So I recently had an experience doing a small on-camera project and it fucking sparked me. I feel so eager to apply my spark to another project and have no project to which to apply it. So my question is, got any on-camera gigs for me? Kidding! Mostly. My real question is, for those of us whose work is dependent on being invited by a maker to participate in their work, how do you recommend maintaining a spark until the next invitation arrives?
Mm.
Besides listening to the spark file, that's a gimme. You're sweet, Ryan. The message. Yeah, that was his price of admission.
Okay. All right.
Here's the message. You are awesome and the podcast sparks me.
Aww.
That was the whole message.
That was it.
I love it. So here's our response. Thank you so much for taking the time to write. We love that your price of admission was your entire message and that your message is that we are awesome. Very well played, Ryan. Can you guess, Ryan, what we're going to say to you? Can you? Can you guess? Can you? Here's the short version. Listen to Doctors Laura and Susan. We're not doctors. We just play them on TV. Here's our prescription. We think it's time for you to create your own creative opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
We know a little bit about you. We know that you have ideas for stories that you'd like to tell. Mm-hmm. We're not psychic. We know because you've told us separately. What if you began by crafting a short film?
Yep.
Like written by you.
That's right.
Like directed by you.
That's right.
Like maybe starring you.
That's right.
And perhaps even the amazing local actors that you That's have right. relationships. If you've been doing this for 20 years,
That's
right?
That's right. That's right.
We know that you probably have a cell phone with a camera on it. Might somebody hold that camera for you? We know that you probably have friends who are generating. No, we know you do because you've told us there's friends generating their own work. Mm-hmm. Could they answer questions mm-hmm. about the basic process of making a movie? Well, you probably have a library near you. Could you get a book on basic screenplay / storytelling structure? We know that everybody has very deep, incredible early life experiences to draw from. We think about Anne Lamott and Bird by Bird. Like, if you've lived about 15, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
We have spent the past year teaching ourselves everything we didn't know about how to make and release and promote a podcast. I learned how to use Logic Pro X to edit sound. Laura, you've been rocking Buzzsprout, which is
my best friend Buzzsprout.
We never met before, but that's where mm-hmm, we upload mm-hmm, our podcasts mm-hmm. so that they can go out to all the major podcasting networks. I designed our logo in Canva. Laura totally executes and creates our social media plan and our marketing plan. I learned how to caption video in iMovie so that it's accessible to the hearing impaired. I wrote the theme song. Laura had the idea to who should sing the theme song. Laura made up the title for the podcast. Like, it has just been sparks on sparks on sparks. And also, do you realize how much work this is? Ryan, do you know how old we are? Do you realize how much our brains are growing every single day?
Every day.
Do you know how satisfying all of this is?
Every day. It is.
It's hard work, but it's satisfying. If you need a collaborator,
Pick one. Get one.
One of your wildly talented friends. Mm-hmm, pick mm-hmm. one. Somebody, preferably somebody who enjoys spending time with. If you need an accountability partner so that you keep your deadlines and commitments, you can't have Laura Camion.
No, she's I'm taken.
But pick somebody, preferably somebody you respect enough so that you care if you let them down. What do you think about that, Ryan? What do you think about all of it?
Yes, I say yes to all of this.
I got on a tear there. I got on a tear.
No, you did. And it's so true. Like, you have got to take ownership of this journey. You can't just sit and wait. And in terms of a short film, I think I mentioned her name on another podcast, but I have a screenwriting teacher named Elah Tier.
Mm-hmm.
Who challenged me to make my own short film. But here's the deal. This was so smart. The assignment is really focused. She's like, write a short screenplay that is no more than 10 pages that takes place in one location that can be shot over 2 days.
Oh.
So now you can do that in a weekend. So 10 pages, one location, 2 days of shooting.
Amazing.
You can do this and you can assemble that team. I think sometimes people don't always feel comfortable being the person in charge of that whole thing.
Truly, that is a skill set.
But you can also get yourself a producer and you say, you're still the boss. You're the executive producer funding it,
mm-hmm.
but you can get someone to pull it all together for you and with you.
That's a lot here coming through with good advice.
Awesome.
So Ryan actually sent us that first email and then he went ahead and updated us saying that he'd share his progress. And then 1 month later, got this. Just wanted to let you know, I have made something. No idea if there's anything to it, but I made it and I'm ... Proud might not be the word, but it's the same family reunion as the word I'm looking for. At any rate, thank you for the impetus from the Spark File. Just the sparky nudge I needed to get this thing out of my head and into a thing I made. Hearts and sparks. And then he wrote again. We can't keep up with you, Ryan.
Ryan's on fire.
Ryan wrote again. I wrote a play. It's been in my head for a couple of years, at least in its embryonic form.
Yes.
I have shared it with a couple of people, gotten feedback, revised some, shared it with more people, waiting for more feedback. I want to do a reading of it. I want to see if it can actually work in production. I also have a little glimmer of a thought that it can easily slide into a screenplay.
There you go.
That my super talented aspiring cinematographer son can DP for me.
There you go.
But at this point, I can't tell if it's worth a shit.
Heartsels and Sparksels, Ryan. And then Ryan wrote again. BTW, this just in. I did an informal reading with three actors yesterday. It went pretty damn well. Ryan.
Oh my gosh.
Ripping it
up. You are doing it.
You are on a roll.
Holy shit.
I remember, Ryan. Cams, when we were doing title of show at the Vineyard. So yes. We're doing title of show off Broadway.
Yes.
Somebody brought a gentleman, an artist named Andre Gregory.
Uh-huh.
Andre Gregory made My Dinner with Andre, if y'all know that
awesome.
Movie with Wallace Shawn. And, you know, he's a, I think Andre Gregory also with Wallace Shawn and Julianne Moore did that Vanya on 42nd Street.
Oh, like, very cool.
These people get some really interesting things
yeah,
made.
They do it.
And Andre Gregory was so great. He was so effusive and positive about the show. And I said, like such a dumbass. I was like, Andre Gregory, when I meet famous people, sometimes I have to say both of their names. I was like, Andre Gregory, we made this just sitting around Hunter's kitchen table. And he like gently took my hand and he goes, that's how everything gets made.
Oh, bless him.
Everything just gets made around somebody's kitchen table. Even the most fanciest, like the thing that you think of and you're just it in such high regard.
Like Lin-Manuel, writing
on top of the rumbling dryer.
Yes.
Yeah. So it just reminds me like you're getting it done and maybe you can't tell right now if it's worth a shit because it seems like it comes from, you know, around your kitchen table or on top of a dryer, or if you're like, it's just me and my friends, but that's how shit gets done.
That is all it is. There are no other bells and whistles.
There are
people gathering together in random spaces, making shit happen.
Ryan, we cannot wait
Woo!
To get more updates on this.
Awesome. I'm
loving you people.
All right. Here's one more. Hi, I'm the gal who posted that Cricut lettering on Instagram.
Yes. So there is, I don't know her username. I know her name is at the end of this email, mm-hmm. but she is a master crafter.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Amazing.
I would just like to thank you for making and sharing this podcast. Without giving you my entire life story, I will say that I am typically a very glass half full type of person.
Sure.
But the last few months have challenged that. This is where your sweet baby podcast comes in. Aww. Why not start that Etsy business?
Yes.
Why can't I make things?
Right.
What the heck is holding me back from taking risks and daring greatly?
Yes, Brené.
Yes. I can do whatever I want.
Yes, you can.
And much like my sense of humor, it can be good for me, not for everyone, and that's okay.
Good for me. Good for you, not for me. I love it.
And I'd rather be nine people's favorite thing anyway.
Title of show.
So now I'm a maker, motherfuckers.
Yes, you are.
Now, makering means making things. So
that is our new t-shirt.
I love it.
Makering means making things.
So I've been working my buns off and I've attached a 35-second video and a photo of my first project.
Yes.
Housewarming gifts for a newlywed couple and a sticker for myself as a pat on the back.
That's it.
Your suggestion to make something for someone else who's been struggling gave me a great spark. There's a gal I follow on Instagram who is opening up a vegan bakery and having all sorts of problems with finalization. You inspired me to send her a message and offer her my vinyl sign making services for free.
Amazing.
How neat is it to realize your podcast has started a ripple effect of positivity, applied imagination that fights for the powers of good? You're doing the Lord's work, ladies. And by Lord, I mean share, of course. Love and sparks, Celine.
Oh.
That was awesome.
Thank you, Celine.
You know, nothing tickles me more than watching we have a group of people who are doing the creativity challenge.
Rocking the year-end treat.
Rocking it.
Amazing.
And now people who did not know each other before are cheering each other on, and we see them commenting on each other's work It's so gratifying.
And many of those people are actually, I swear this isn't an ad. Many of those people are actually coming to
the
New Year's workshop.
I can't wait.
And the great thing is we all, by the time we arrive there, it's sort of like, you, that song. And so—
How's the journaling?
There are no strangers. It's really
so
fun.
So excellent.
And by the Lord, I mean Cher, of course. Don't we all, Celine?
Oh,
I love
Celine,
this.
Thank you for that.
That was beautiful. And I just want to boost this spark that you just shared, which is make something for someone else who has been struggling.
That's right.
To see somebody who is like, they have a vision of creating a vegan bakery. It's an amazing spark. And they're struggling because they're not sparked when it comes to signage. They don't know. And to be able to say, hi, I'm a magic person who's come from the internet to offer you my services. To provide vinyl signage for free. It is so, especially when you're like, I'm never going to open a vegan bakery, but I'm also passionate about veganism or something.
That's right.
I just love it. I think it's wonderful.
And sometimes people just need a freaking hand.
Day makers.
You just described a moment ago all the things that we're constantly doing.
Yes.
And thank God there's two of us.
And send help.
Because I can safely say this podcast would not be happening if it was only one of us.
That's right.
Or it would be
100%.
It's insane. So to just reach out to someone and say, I've got two hands, I can help.
I love it.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. So that's it. I hope that this all put another bunch of sparks in your file. It did for me.
It did for
I'm
me
thankful
too.
For this.
These are like sparks from you to us, and it really means a lot.
We'll take your presence.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a spark you'd like us to explore also, or if you've taken, like you all have done, you've taken sparks and fanned them into creative flames, and you want to share more with us, you can email us at thesparkfile.com or submit it through. Please just, it's so great when you submit it through our website because it just
is perfect.
It's perfect.
It's easier for us to track too because we've also gotten incredible messages from people on Instagram and Facebook a little bit, but mostly Instagram. And here we can at least, it's just easier for us to put them in the Sparkfile file.
We're betterer. And our website is at thesparkfile.com.
That's right. And obviously, we will take your feedback, but we do want to know the price of admission. Please share something that you have done creatively, a risk you've taken recently.
Something that is progress, but not perfection. Something that scared you enough
mm-hmm.
to make you poop a little. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe, rate, 5-star review it. It really makes a huge difference.
Yes, it does.
If you like this podcast, will you please share it with people you love? And if you didn't like it, in the words of the old timey AOL guy, goodbye.
Oh God, that's a classic. If something tickles your fancy and gets your creative juices flowing, we are writing you a forever freaking permission slip.
No expiration date on that one,
baby. No expiration date. Make that thing that's been knocking at your door. Do it. It's your turn to take a spark and fan it into a flame.
You got to saw it. You got to sand it. You got to get an accordion, harmonica, and bass drum and full on one man band it.
You got to take it
and make it.
Bye.
When I bump into something that inspires me, I dump it in my spark file. Could be something that I wanna make or how I wanna be. I pump it in my spark file. I jump into my spark file. Let's open up the spark file.